Hello and welcome to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Wherever you are, Happy New Year. The 1st of January is a state holiday here in the Czech Republic, and instead of our usual programme, we've got a special show for you today. The recently opened Pop Art Centre in Prague's Old Town features work by the likes of Roy Lichtenstein and Robert Indiana. But the biggest draw at the gallery on Husová Street will no doubt be pieces by Andy Warhol. The pop art pioneer had close ties to this part of the world, given that his family were Ruthenes, who came from what is today northeastern Slovakia. Among those at the launch of the Pop Art Centre was Andy Warhol's nephew, James Warhol, himself a noted illustrator of children's books. Indeed, paintings by James Warhol from the book Uncle Andy's, drawing on the time he spent with Warhol as a child, are also on display at the downtown gallery. At the opening, Radio Prague's editor-in-chief Miroslav Krupička spoke to James Warhol about Uncle Andy and much more.
I'm very proud to have my uncle represented here in Prague, especially since his parents came from this part of the world. I was asked a question about our heritage, and it is a little complex because my grandfather immigrated from the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and then a few years later, in fact, it was about 8 years later, Julie, after World War I, was able to immigrate, and that was then Czechoslovakia. Mm-hmm. And now, the Czech and Slovak countries had split, and in the part of the world that they're part of the country they're from is Eastern Slovakia. Our heritage is Carpatho-Rusyn, and but to me it kind of represents the whole area. I mean, the whole area is very magical. Eastern Europe had a lot of special aspects that I think Andy had, and so it's logical that there should be a museum here, especially in Prague, as opposed to Metzlaborca, which is pretty far away and it's very difficult to get to. And where Prague is more centrally located, I'm very happy that more people will be able to see his work here.
I must ask you about your impressions of Prague. You have been here once or twice, 20 years ago or so?
Yes, I was here just a year or two after the Velvet Revolution, and of course it was exciting. And I got to see a lot of relatives and kind of get a feeling of the new atmosphere of freedom. And it was fantastic. I wanted to move here, but I couldn't do it that easily. And I understand a lot of Americans did move here. Now, I think it's more pristine. It still has an ancient quality, but not as old looking as it did back in the early 90s.
It was shabby a little.
A little rough around the edges. A lot of... I think they still used a lot of coal, so there was a lot of black buildings. And now it's just, it's more fairy tale like. It's actually, the architecture is beautiful. And I think the other thing that hasn't changed that much is the people here are very warm. I've had a wonderful visit. I feel at home here in Eastern Europe, in Prague. The language sounds familiar to me. Of course, my parents, they spoke fluent Ruthenian. And it's a Slavic language, so there's a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. I pick up words here and there. It's exciting. I like being back in Prague. Again, I'm getting those feelings. I want to move back.
Have you been to Medzilaborca, to this museum? What does it look like, or what were your impressions of that?
I've been there a few times, but I haven't been there for probably, it's been 6-7 years. I was in Slovakia several years ago because there was a Slovak version of my book, Uncle Andy's, which is about our visits to visit Andy Warhol, our uncle. And we traveled all through Slovakia on a book tour, and we ended up in Metzlaborca. It was very exciting to go back there. Now, of course, between 1991 and 92 till, like, it was in 2008 that I was there, it had changed a lot, more modern, more, you know, it was just cleaner, and it looked like there's more prosperity, of course. Mm-hmm. And the museum it's a cute museum. It's really, it has its difficulties because of its budgeting and getting people to travel there. But I think it's a beautifully designed museum.
Did you know that Andy Warhol was so popular in this country?
I'd say that when my uncle first passed away in 1987, he was famous, but I don't think he was that popular in every part of the world, especially in Eastern Europe. I think, he was known as an artist. But in these 27 years since he died, his fame has grown tremendously. I mean, in fact, he's rivaling Picasso as the most important person, most important artist of the 20th century. So I think many of the people that live in this area, they recognize that his family came from here. So he's become more popular. And also his influences from the long view by art historians and art critics, and they see that he had an influence in a lot of areas. And I think he's influencing artists from all nationalities. I'm always impressed with Czech and Slovak artists. I always saw a lot of creative art being done here when I first came 20 years ago. And I think they give a lot of, in general, they give a lot of respect to Andy Warhol, since sometimes he's even accused of opening up a Pandora's box, so to speak, where anything goes, for better or for worse. But I think he definitely gets a lot of respect here, and I'm amazed. I see his name on different billboards all through the city because there's a few shows going on. There's a show of his cars. Then there's this other show saying, "I'm okay, Andy Warhol." That's amazing. And this is the gallery that's opening up the Pop Art Center. It's going to be the third place where you could see Andy Warhol, I mean, here in the city, but it's more permanent.
There are over 20 works by Andy Warhol on this show. Were they provided? Who provided them? Is it the Andy Warhol Foundation in the U.S.?
No, they were provided by different collectors here in the Czech Republic. They're very unique pieces. It's not uncommon for me to come across artwork that I've never seen before. And these few series of works of art are unique. There's St. George and the Dragon, Prince. There's the Goethe, beautiful portraits of Goethe. And then there's the cathedral images. I've not seen them as complete sets, and they're beautifully hung. And they're very much what my uncle was doing in the 80s. See, when my uncle was working, his best period, of course, is the 60s. It was when he was breaking new ground on many fronts. And, of course, as the 70s came along, he was doing a lot of society portraits. But yet he was still doing all different types of themes, whether it was sports or whether it was flowers, still lives, or whatever. He was doing different categories of art. Now, through the 80s, there were many themes, and I think that a lot of people they didn't realize what he was doing in the 80s. So when some of these paintings get to be shown, it's a treat because he was extremely prolific. That's one of the Warhol traits, is he was a workaholic. He got that from his mother and father, mainly his father. I always think of him as getting his creative energy from his mother and his work ethic from his father. So the combination made for an extremely prolific group of work. He died when he was 58, was very young, but yet he had produced many more paintings than Picasso did, who lived up to be almost 90.
You remember him quite well. What kind of person was he? How do you remember Andy Warhol?
Of course, I remember him from an early age. I remember him as an illustrator, sitting at a desk, picking up shoes, looking at them, and then drawing their image on paper. And they were done for shoe ads. And he was really fantastic at drawings. He liked us kids. I'm from a family of seven. So when we would have these trips to visit Uncle Andy and my grandmother, who we'd call Bubba, we'd visit them several times a year. We lived in Pittsburgh. They lived in New York. Of course, he was born in Pittsburgh and he moved to New York. Mm-hmm. But we would visit them for many years, several times a year. And he always took an interest in us. He was always happy to see us. But yet, I always wondered, gee, I wonder how he can work, how he worked when we were visiting, like, because we brought a little bit of chaos. And yet, it seemed like he was always very focused, but yet he would stop working and he'd have fun with us. He had a sense of humor. He was never shy with us. He was conversational. He had a sense of humor. But he was also, I think he could be demanding. He had a way of, like, telling us if he didn't, he wasn't happy with what we were doing. Or asking my brother and I to do work for him. Like, he'd tell us, okay, Jamie and George, you're going to take all these magazines upstairs, all these boxes. So we'd work. We did these different chores for him. The other thing is my uncle discovered that even though we were young, we could start stretching canvases. He would get us started. He showed us how to stretch a canvas with a staple gun and a set of canvas pliers. I would stretch the canvas. My brother would staple them. And we did numerous canvas stretchings at his house. So when we came to visit, he knew that he can get me and my brother to work for him. In fact, in those early years, that was where he was working. He was working at his house. He didn't have the silver factory. Silver factory didn't come about till like around 1964. But before that, all those early pop art paintings, like the soup cans and the Marilyn Monroe's, and some of the earlier celebrity portraits, they were all done at his house by himself, on occasion us helping him staple them to canvas stretchers.
Later on in the 70s and 80s, what was his lifestyle? Would he live at home with his mother, your grandmother, and then go to the factory to create there, to produce and experiment there? Or
yeah.
How do you remember those times?
Well, when he started to have the studio outside the house, he would stay at his house till about 10 or 11 o'clock. Then he would go to the studio, and he would either come back around 8 or 9 o'clock and then go out maybe to a party or something. And in the morning, we were always waiting for him so we could ask him if he saw anybody famous. But he would just he kept his home life quite separate from his factory studio. Mm-hmm. He didn't bring hardly anybody from his work life into his home life. And likewise, he didn't really want us to go visit him at the factory. He said, oh, you wouldn't like it. Mm-hmm. That was his kind of comment. If we ever said, gee, Uncle Andy, we want to go down to the factory today, he says, you know what, there's nothing happening there. You'd probably get bored. So he usually persuaded us to stay at home. And I did get to visit him a few times at the factory. And each time he was hard at work. He was painting. Mm-hmm. There was people running around doing things for him. There was never that crazy kind of scene that you read about, like, you know, where they were taking drugs and there was parties and there was nude people, you know, being filmed. No, we never saw that. We always saw the times when he was just strictly working and producing artwork. Now, when his mother came back to Pittsburgh, when my grandmother started to get, you know, just a little bit older, she was hard for him to handle, because he had to work during the day and he couldn't be at home to keep an eye on her. So we brought her back to Pittsburgh, and it wasn't too long after that she passed away. She passed away in her late 70s, but it was 1972 that she died. Now, at that point, he was living by himself. I think it was a lonely life for him. I think from that point on, he had a very kind of... there was a part of him that was very quiet and private. And I would visit him when I graduated college. I moved to New York in 1977, so I would visit him very regularly. Every few weeks, I'd stop by either at the studio or at his home, and he'd always be encouraging. He'd always want to know what I'm doing. I started to go into illustration work because I wanted to be an illustrator just like he was right after college. But he tried to persuade me to go into either photography or film. And I didn't see myself, having a career in that area. So I just kept on doing the illustration work. But I think there was from right after his mother died, I think he kind of changed a little. Of course, he had a few companions. The one man who was one of his companions, his name was Jed Johnson. But they kind of, I think they drifted apart in the early 80s. But I think from the early 80s on, he was just really by himself, mostly. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By the way, your name, Warhol, is slightly different from Andy's. Was it only Andy who used this brief form or shortened form of your family surname?
Yes.
Was it on purpose?
But it happened, I think it happened in a kind of natural way. I think when he moved to New York, it just kind of became easier to say Warhol instead of Warhola. Three syllables, as opposed to two syllables. I think the Warhol was just easy. Andy Warhol. And so he just started going with it, and that became his primary name. There was no explanation that he ever gave that was more than just it was easier to say. I don't think he was trying to get rid of his name. It just lost that A. It could be that the Warhola sounded too ethnic, and Warhol sounded a little more American. A lot of people don't realize he spoke the old language with his mother. He spoke fluent.
Did they communicate in Carpathian?
Yes.
With your grandmother?
Absolutely. He grew up speaking it fluently all the way, when he was very young. He learned it first from his, brothers and his parents. And then when he went to school, he learned English. I remember many, many times where he and his mother would be conversing back and forth. I wouldn't know what they were discussing because I didn't know the language. I'd pick up a few words. But Carpathian, language that he knew, he was fluent at. But yet I think he was a little bit self-conscious. He'd only speak it around family. I don't think he would speak it around anybody else.
You mentioned you studied art in Pittsburgh, as Andy did.
Mm-hmm.
Was it your own decision, or was it the family inspiration that you went into art?
I think my uncle had a lot to do with it, of course. I mean, I saw that he was an artist, and I wanted to be like him. And, of course, my parents, especially my father, he saw what happened to Andy growing up from a young age and how he had an interest in art and how he became very, very successful. So he gave me a lot of encouragement. And when I got accepted at Carnegie Mellon, which was Andy's same college, I had the good fortune of studying with some of the same professors that taught Andy. And there were always Andy stories floating around. He had a bit of a following. He stirred up a little interest at the college. He became like the star of his class, even though he was the youngest one in the class. Most of the men in the class were World War II vets who just came back from the war, but Andy was too young to be drafted, but he was amongst these older men who had to postpone their college education, but they wanted to become designers, artists and designers. He was shy in the beginning, and by the end of the 4 years, he was the star of the class. I remember there were two professors. One professor said, Andy Warhola would be the last one to ever succeed at anything. He thought he was too off the wall, so to speak. And then another professor said, Andy Warhol's the only one that had a product to sell.
I understand you are a wider family. You must have a number of cousins mm-hmm. in the family. Are you the only artist in the family?
I am probably the most practicing artist in the family. I have siblings that are very artistic, and they do different types of art. But I'm the one that's probably pursued it the most. Of course, my daughter, she's got the artistic gene, and she wants to pursue it. I don't know where she'll go with it, because for me, like, I've been doing mostly book illustration, and of course the whole field has changed since the invention of the computer. Computers changed everything, as far as writing, photography, illustrating. it's more difficult to you can't like have careers based on the old methods anymore. And communication is totally different. You don't have newspapers as much, and you don't have magazines. You just have the internet. And so the world's different. And art has changed. There's, you know, fine art is more installation-oriented. It's not just painting. Painting almost seems old-fashioned in this day and age.
You must have started your career in the early 80s, I suppose.
Actually, the late 70s.
Mid-70s.
Yes.
Given your name, didn't you feel sort of overshadowed by Andy's glory at the time? Was it easy to push oneself through the society with this name, Warhola?
Well, it's interesting that back in the 70s and 80s, before my uncle passed away, most people never made the connection between Warhola and Warhol. Mm-hmm. I very rarely got asked that question. But I personally felt like a small shadow under this giant shadow. So I had, it was always on the back of my mind as far as being judged in some relationship to Andy Warhol because of what Andy did. I think my uncle realized that I just had to go out into the world and make my own kind of path, because you can't repeat history in any way, of course. I mean, anybody who thinks they can do pop art now, it wouldn't make any sense to. I mean, pop art existed mostly in the 60s. It transformed and influenced other artists to be doing other things. So it's always changing, and the world is always, I mean, there's always a new solution. There's always a new kind of creation. It shouldn't ever repeat itself, so to speak. So I kind of try to take a philosophy and be my own artist.
You seem to be quite successful. How many books have you illustrated? Quite a lot.
I've illustrated maybe 50 children's books. And I did a lot of book covers, like paperback covers. Mm-hmm. And the area I worked was science fiction and fantasy. And I did some very famous authors in the genre, such as Robert Heinlein or William Gibson. I did the first cyberpunk novel called Neuromancer. Very famous. I painted that back in the early 1980s, and it went on to become a very successful book and won many awards that year. But I was the artist that represented the cover.
Your works are, your watercolors are also on show in Prague now with the works of Andy Warhol. Can you tell us which books do they come from?
Yes. My first book that I wrote was called Uncle Andy's, and it's basically about one of those special trips when we'd visit my uncle and my grandmother. We'd just show up on his doorstep in 1962. It was his breakout year when he did his first pop art paintings. Or he was doing them earlier. He was doing them in 1960 or in 61, but it was the first time he had a show, and he became, well known at that point. I mean, he caused a little stir in the art world with his first show of soup cans. And I remember him working on them that year, and also working on a number of other different pop art images, like the paint by numbers, or he also did the dance step paintings, and he was very prolific, yet he was still doing his illustration work too, because the illustration work was actually earning him the money to do the painting, the fine art painting. But that book, it highlights what it was like to be at home with our uncle and our grandmother. So the show that is really a collection of the watercolors from the book, and it kind of documents life at home with my uncle Andy when we would visit. And I'm the kind of illustrator that has a lot of detail, so you could look very closely and see a lot of things happening. I mean, he had a lot of Siamese cats, so you see all the cats in different pictures. You see soup cans. You see all these antiques that he had. I always describe his house as a giant amusement park. So there's carousel horses. He loved collecting. It's just, in a way, it's a documentation of the life of Andy Warhol that was not the public persona, but it was his private side of things.
You are absolutely right. I had the impression that it's really looking at Andy Warhol or his environment through children's eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people didn't realize that he had a family. You know, they just had this image that was shown in the public arena of him being kind of mysterious and almost strange, because he was very shy in front of the camera. So he didn't really expose much of his personality. But when my book came out, they realized, oh, Andy Warhol, he lived with his mother. I mean, how could that be? He was so avant-garde. But he lived with his mother, and he would have all these kids from my family and my Uncle John's family. We'd just always be visiting, surprising him. And so people were surprised by this side of him.
James Warhola, the nephew of Andy Warhol, who was speaking to Radio Prague's Miroslav Krupička. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for on today's program on Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and again, Happy New Year.